na chaitana prabhavitana jaya chaita gadadha shivasadhi.
The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on September 13, 1979 in Los Angeles, California.
Did you ever hear how ISKCON food release started? Did I tell that? And ever since? ISKCON Food Relief started in the first time we were in Mayapur. Prabhupada visited at the time of opening of that four-story building, the mandir, and the temporary mandir. We had a big feast. So many people came, a nice big feast. Not a public distribution, invited guests. And so many devotees were there. So afterwards, Prabhupada went to, was taking rest in his room. And from the feast, we eat on banana leaves. Those who visit Mayapur know that many times, big festival days, we eat on banana leaves. Those have been taken and thrown in the back of the building about 100 yards off on one side in a big heap. So there was a lot of noise coming from that heap. So Prabhupada became disturbed. And Prabhupada had a habit, especially in India, that whenever he wanted, at any moment, day and night, he would suddenly call, bring the sannyasis, bring the GBC, immediately call them, bring everyone, now, immediately. He would just doesn't matter, it would be two in the morning or 12 at night or any time you could be called. There was no 2 in the afternoon. So everyone, of course, was rested. They all immediately get up, come, pay their obeisances. And then Prabhupada was in sitting, looking over the veranda, and he said, just see, everyone looked. And there, what happened, there were so many dogs were gathered around those leaves, but the dogs had been driven away by children who were taking the leaves, and on the plate there would be a little bit of chutney, sauce, you know, maybe a piece of the puri, couldn't finish because you're already up to here. So that was left on the plate. So they are going through the plates and licking the leaves and taking whatever tidbit they could find and eating it. So Prabhupada was saying, they must be so hungry. They must be so hungry to do that. And he was crying. And he said, we are establishing a mandir. If you want to make this a temple of Krishna, the Krishna is everyone's father, then you must see that everyone within 10 kilometers distance never goes hungry. Then this is really the house of Krishna. That will be your credit. So then he gave orders to all the present GBC, everyone. You arrange that here regular prasad distribution will begin. These people are so hungry. We must feed them prasad. So, then we, in a little tent, we were cooking prasad. And the first day, I remember about 200 people came. Next time, about 500 came. About the third time, first couple times, we were just giving khichdi. Third time was a little festival day, like the appearance of Rupa Goswami. So we thought that we're going to do a special distribution. We'd already got it down that the people had to be sat in a line. So what would happen is that when we put the leaf plate down, if one line got the plates before the other line, then the people would become so nervous, they'd jump up from this line and jump to that line because they're thinking they were going to get first. I might not get. Or they would sit here and go there and get two plates and put two plates in front of them. So with all these things, we were finding all these little idiosyncrasies. So we finally had it worked out that one devotee would go up and down each line with a small stick. And he would tell everyone that whatever you do, don't get up. Everyone's going to get. We would announce, don't get up. And then each line, he wouldn't ever hit anybody, but I mean, it was just to give him a little bit of gravity. And everybody would be given a leaf plate. Until everybody got a leaf plate, we wouldn't do it. It's a science. If you don't do it this way, you have a riot. I'm just telling you. Then after everybody got their leaf plate, then you would tell them, now you're going to be given prasad. Whatever you do, don't get up. Until you're finished, you don't get up. If you get up, you get thrown out. So then this way, we already got this whole system down. After 3-4 days, we got it down. We had help of local people also. So in this way, we're giving everyone khichdi. This day, we decided we'll have khichdi, and we'll have a sabji, and a puri. So when we gave out the khichdi, everything went up to the plate, everything like that. We got up to khichdi, everything was going smooth. When we brought out the sabji, the people started to shake. They couldn't believe it. They started to shake. But somehow or another, we got the sabji all out. I remember there was this one devotee. His name is Padmalochan. Some of you may know him. And he is a small, short, he's nice from Britain. One devotee, he came out with a big basket of puri on his head. And when he came out and he walked up to the middle of the line, at the end of the line in the middle, and just the people looked at him and they saw those puris, and there was like about a 5 second where you just saw everyone was looking, and it was just like just something just snapped and everybody jumped him. And you just see him go under like by piranha fish devouring him, and the puris were just disappeared. And he was screaming and it just crawling out from the... So then we realized that puris were just too much. And it was always... I was always amazed at how much prasad they could consume. Everyone, it didn't matter. I even asked some people that you're Muslim, why you were taking prasad? I said, well, food is food. Doesn't matter. When it comes time for prasad, I forget that I'm Muslim. But I used to see the little kids would come in flat, and when they come out, their bellies would be just puffed out. They would eat at least half their body weight. And I would always look, and I would be afraid that if they fell down or something, it just would bust. So what happened is one day, I at that time we didn't have a vehicle, so we used to ride by bicycle to Krishnagar to get the steel and stone chips from the railway head. So I was coming back from Krishnagar by bicycle, and as I was coming, the prasad distribution had broken, you know, had been over, and people were coming down the road. And as I was coming, a few of them, my known friends, they yelled out in Bengali, "Bacha mare geche, bacha mare geche." That means the baby has died, the baby has died. I said, oh no, it happened. One of those kids just ate and busted his belly. Going to be a legal suit, and I don't have Narayan Das to help me. I said, oh no, I always knew it would happen. Just as I pulled into the temple, into the ashram, and I said, whose kid died? Whose baby died? And then they said, no, the cow's calf died, had a miscarriage. I said, oh. Then I went and saw the cow, and anyway, but I was certain that it was actually one of the kids, the children had met his end. So, And this way our prasad distribution began. Finally, when the rainy season, it would stop. So then Prabhupada, he told us to construct the prasadam pavilion so it would go on all year round. Now we have a very nice prasadam pavilion. That's why in the prasadam pavilion, you notice there's steps that go in a long straight line, rows. This is scientific for getting the people to sit down in a row. After a few times, they're trained now. They just come right in and sit down. And it has big steel gates. With all these things are after many years of experience. Now the people, they don't... And those who are taking there, they're already trained up. They know that they will get. So there's not this problem. But the people are so hungry. And they have complete faith in prasad. That is also... They won't take other food. Other people, if they have a wedding or something, give out, they won't take. But they'll take prasad. And they'll take so much of it. Prabhupada said they can't take any home with them, though. They have to eat. And then they can go. So, this was the system. So, in this way, Prabhupada started our prasad district. That is being supported by all the temples around ISKCON. Now a few other temples in India that are starting this program. We've been doing it now for about 8 years. And now on top of the Saturday and Sunday feeding, we have a capacity of 1,500 on each day. Although some days some used to feed two shifts. Right now in the rainy season it's a little less, maybe 1,200 or 1,000 only come on Saturday and Sunday each day. So in that way, each month, 9 days, is about, if you get 1,500, it comes to about 13,000 people per month. And then we feed every day 1,800 people in the village, little kids, from grains which are given to us by the government. We cook up and make a halva without ghee, like a cereal, with milk and or vegetables and salt, and we give to the village boys and girls under 6 years of age and pregnant mothers. And so 1,854 get our they have to have attendance cards. They sit down and attendance is taken. It's sponsored by CARE and the West Bengal government combined. So that's 5 days a week. So that's 9,000 a week. That's 39 times 4, 36,000, and 14,000 right there is 50,000. So 50,000 people per month, 50,000 servings are given. That means in a year, that's 600,000 people. Plus, during Mayapur Festival, some days we give out to 25,000 July. In this way, you can figure that in 1 year, 7,000. And if you want to just add 700,000, you want to add with the devotees how many plates they take, then we could say that at least 1 million plates of prasadam are served every year. That means up to date, we've done at least 8 million plates. So we're going to put a sign out, 8 million servings. We're competing with McDonald's. But we're giving out pure food stuff, not garbage. Tama food stuff. So, Prabhupada wanted, he said that actually this prasad distribution is so important that if every 10 kilometers square there would be the prasad distribution center, the whole India would be so grateful, they would all become Krishna conscious. Although they are Krishna conscious to some extent, but I mean, they become fully surrendered to this Krishna conscious movement. No one is making that arrangement. So, of course, we don't have the capacity now, but gradually we hope that Krishna will arrange. Someday, if any government would ever donate food grains, it would be very easy to achieve this. These are some of the things which are happening. So maybe there's some questions I can answer now. Yes. The what? That's a big topic. Could you ask something? specific on that? You like that? Well, of course, the original marketplace was started by Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, on the order of Lord Chaitanya, he started the original marketplace of the Holy Name at a place called Surabhikunj in Navadvip. And from there, all the different devotees would go different places, and they would set up transcendental storehouses and transcendental traveling salesmen. They would go and preach the Krishna consciousness. So I've been discussing for a long time that there are 18,954 villages in West Bengal, out of which 15,500 are about 16,500 are Hindu. And each of those has at least one Hare Krishna group, amateur group that gets together occasionally and chants Hare Krishna. So if they could be all united under the ISKCON banner, then we'd have quite a nice Sankirtan party. Because each party would have, say, 20 people in it. Even if 10 people came, that would be about 200,000 people chanting Kirtan. I got this inspiration after we had the big trouble about 2 years ago. Then we started a big march and 25,000 people came. 250 Sankirtan groups came with Kol Kartal, and it was so nice. I remember each group would chant simultaneously. I tried this in many ISKCON parades to have more than one group, but they always end up merging for some reason. But because these people were completely used to chanting just with themselves, each group would stay together and just listen to the leader. I remember that one devotee, he came up to me, and he had been running from one group to another. He just said that, "I can't believe it, I can't believe it. Every group, a different mood, a different tune, a different kirtan. It's just unbelievable, it's ecstatic, it's blissful." Just people, everyone was just, because it's a fact that one would be going, "Hare Krishna," and the next group, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And just so many varieties, and everyone was so intently into chanting and playing in the madrangas and dancing, and it's just so many Sankirtan groups. It's just tremendous. 2,500 at madrangas and kartals. You never get that many. It's just tumultuous sound. Plus all the other people that were there, they were also chanting. It was just so I became so inspired. I thought, if every village we could simply get to chant regularly, they already chanting a little bit. If we could get it organized through ISKCON. So in this way, I've been starting various programs in Orissa, Bihar, Bengal. But I was always wondering that Prabhupada told me that I should expand the propaganda unlimitedly. He never put any limit on it. He said, "Unlimitedly." And he told me that he thought that village preaching was very important. But I was always feeling what form it should take, so I had made a basic format that I wanted to have in each village, this type of centers, and the griha, and they would live there and practice, and we would go there and visit them. And then just at that time, someone revealed to me that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had done this type of thing and gave me a book that he had written, which was what I was translating, and two more issues are supposed to come either tonight or tomorrow morning, which are going to be published, if the Rameshwar Maharaj wants to. And when I read that, I saw that exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur had started, that exactly that was the same thing which I wanted to do and which I had already started. So I felt a tremendous enthusiasm that this was a sign from Krishna that this was fully authorized, what I was undertaking. Because sometimes, you know, there's that mood that unless it's just 100% pure, come and live in the temple and shave up. But I like to work with the householders and to get them to worship in their house and to practice in their own environment. And then gradually, of course, a few may come and live in the temple. But I wanted to create so many temples in every town, managed by the local people. So this is basically what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. At that time, there was no ISKCON that people could take shelter of. Now we have ISKCON, so and it's much better to naturally come. But so we do is we bring the people into our temple for a month or two, get them trained up, and then send them back to the village and have them develop the local center there. So they form a committee, and everyone comes every morning and every evening and chants. One will read from Prabhupada's books and give lecture. And then different brahmacharis or sannyasis will go out, and they'll have so many of these centers to service or to visit. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as he was starting, you see, first of all, he invited everyone to become salesmen and shopkeepers. So his shopkeeper idea was just about the same idea. And then he went along. What happened was, after he was preaching for some time, then he found that some subtle mayas were getting into his whole thing, that people would be preaching other than pure devotional service. So then he created senapatis, generals. He had a statewide general, then he had a district-wide general, circle general, and a locality, a patrolman, a commander. So then he would have the patrolman go up and down and then see that everybody was chanting their rounds and doing their proper things in the village. And he would go and request each grihastha to go and request five people daily, very humbly, to please take up the message of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would just preach to them and leave and go to another house. He wouldn't wait for any more social conventions. This was the responsibility of each of the members of the Namhat, to go and preach to five people per day, apart from their Nama Sankirtan in the street. So, of course, at that time they didn't have very much book distribution, which is, of course, the Brihat Midranga. It's a much bigger way of preaching. But that time was a different time and place. So, still today, only 20%, in many places, only 20% of the people are literate in India. And most of them are under 15. So, in the villages, a combined program of not only books, but you have to also have this kind of program, otherwise the people don't get very much engaged. So then we started this program, and I mentioned before that we were doing this program in Orissa, and there were some conversions being done by the Christians. We were doing this type of program. What happened, we went to one town and we preached there for 4 days. The people were so enthusiastic, they collected 1,000 rupees and built their own kirtan hall. They're a little bit better, richer village. So they built their own kirtan hall and started this regular kirtan. And they all chant japa. They follow all the principles. In Bihar, we have 21 villages who are chanting. In Bengal, they were just signed up about 30. But I told them, before you sign up anymore, you service these. Go out there and make sure that they get... We can get so many, but I want it to be done. I'm actually putting a stamp on it because I want it to be done very properly, that each center is being visited and preached to by ISKCON devotees at least once every 3 weeks, if not more. So our Bulag party, we have Bulags which... have a Jagannath Mandir on the back of the bullock cart, which goes from village to village, as well as we have the Nithai Padakamala boat, which has Nithai Gaur deities. And these go from village to village, and wherever they go, they do a program, they collect grains and distribute prasadam. Then they request the local people, you take up this Krishna conscious preaching and you form a Hare Krishna center in your village. You form a Namahat center in your village. And you start this preaching. So some places the whole village gets into it, some places there'll be one person. And when we get someone that's ready, we take him and make him a devotee. That's our first priority. But in case people are too entangled, then we get them to form a local committee right there on the spot. So that's the basic program. We have about 10 villages in Orissa, 20 in Bihar, 21 in Bihar. And when I left, they had 30 or 40 in Bengal, but those were just starting. So basically, the Namahat program is that every town and village all over, the people should be chanting Hare Krishna. Everywhere. And so what we're trying to do is to get the people to chant in their own, individually, japa in their own house. In Calcutta, we have about 50 life patron members who have taken Radha Krishna and Chaitanya deities and have mandirs in their house. They worship in their home, chant japa. Because previously we just tried to get money from the Indian community on many occasions, but now our intention is more to get them to be more. We don't expect them to leave their businesses, but we expect them to take up more and more devotional activities. And they become so dedicated to ISKCON when you give them this spiritual instruction. They become so indebted. And so most of the Rath Yatra was actually managed by many of the areas by these dedicated life members who are actually devotees. Last Mayapur Festival, 3 devotees took initiation who are big businessmen in Calcutta. They do a lot of service. So all this is kind of combined. What it means is that going out door to door, village to village, and right there to get the people to start in their own home and together in a group in a local way. This similar program is being done in Eastern Europe. In a very, cautious way. Where you can't go out and do a big thing in the street because of legal problems or otherwise, then they have to do this. And where the people are very receptive, this is all. Now Tamal Krishna is starting, Goswami is starting something like this also called the Seven Cities Program. Something similar to that, this program in America. So after a year, then I think we can, I feel that we can easily build up the membership. If there's 3 statuses I give, if those who chant Hare Krishna at least once a week, they're a group or a sangha. And they have to, everyone that joins the sangha has to chant 2 rounds a day, minimum. It's just like introductory. When they get up to daily, morning and night, 16 rounds, then it becomes a Hare Krishna center. It's like a preaching center. And when it gets up to actually that they're initiated and there's Brahmins there, then we give deities, it becomes a mandir. But that may take many years. So there's 3 levels. So they know that they can work their way up in a sense of becoming more and more. Yes. There was recently some kind of a survey, and the thing is that people don't generally starve to death except in natural calamities, but 90% or some tremendous figure of some statistics they took, I don't know, these statistics or so, but some tremendous, almost, 75 or 80 or 90% of the people are suffering from malnutrition. They eat something, but they don't eat as much as they should or would eat if they had it. But somehow or another, they're keeping their body and soul together, just like there's nothing unusual to have kids, that are 10 years old and just this big. Because they never get any milk. Never any milk, their whole life. We went to a school and we were just served sweet rice. It was in the whole Mayapur area. All the primary students had come for a little annual some kind of a thing. So we did a little Hare Krishna program there, and we distributed sweet rice. That when we gave out sweet rice, there was only about 6 kids out of 300 that ever saw sweet rice before in their life. Rice with milk. We used powdered milk and regular milk and made a full regular sweet rice. They didn't even know what it was. We had to explain to them what it was, and they were, you know, if we had given kids, you know, we thought we were really doing something great. We're giving the kids sweet rice. But it was, you know, it was so far removed that they never even, you know, had. Very rarely if they ever get milk. Because milk, the price of milk here in dollars and the price of milk there in dollars is the same. But the people there are getting paid in rupees, and here they're getting paid in dollars. So hardly anybody except for a wealthy person can afford any milk. So like that, somehow or another, they get a little rice, and some people starve to death. When you're starting to starve, you get pretty anxious. So you start to do something to get something to eat. So somehow they get something a lot of the times, but it's never adequate. I mean, a man works all day and gets 50 cents to feed 4 kids, his wife and his grandmother. You know, maybe one of the kids will make another 25 cents and the wife will make 60, 36 cents. So together they got nearly a dollar or 8 rupees. If everybody in the whole family practically that's old enough works, they get a dollar to feed 6 or 7 members. And even in India, you can't live on less than like 3 or 4 rupees a day. To actually, each of our devotees, at least 6 to 8 rupees a day we spend on prasadam. Milk and fruit and everything, at least. I mean, that's minimum. And when the festival devotees come, then we spend 14 to 16 rupees per head for the prasad that you get. Of course, the Mayapur devotees get Mahaprasad things too. But for the Gurukul kids, we spend 6 rupees a day each pound of milk. So there are people who are very, very hungry. It's not that you see people like completely just fall over, but everybody is so thin. And the kids, therefore, a lot of times we get them, they're like stunted in their growth. That's why we have a feeding program for kids up to 6 years of age. Any other questions? Yes?
You said something about Bhagavan Maharaj. They saw them all.
Bhagavan Maharaj saw them. He's going to come here tomorrow, so he'd be better. I just heard about them. But Krishna is 5'10", and Radharani is 5'7". Radharani is dancing, and Krishna is standing in his beautiful folded bended form, bending form. And that they're supposed to be ready now. But this is, I've heard from the devotees. But Bhavananda Maharaj, I think, has seen. So you can get more details from him tomorrow when he'll be coming here. They're huge. Are there deities 5'10" in the movement? That's the size Prabhupada says. Life size is 5'10" Krishna, 5'7" Radharani. Radharani looks like a little girl. Very sweet, gentle. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that in 1890, he said that according to time, place, and circumstances, he said women should distribute to other women. They should preach. But he said, but according to time, place, and circumstances, mature women, they can preach also to men. So in 1800s, you can just imagine how strict the Vedic society was. But he could already foresee that time would, and certain time and place, circuit would require that women would have to distribute to men also. Actually, his inspiration was, he had a great vision. And so Prabhupada has brought all of those visions to life. Actually, simply by carrying out Srila Prabhupada's orders, all the previous acharya's orders will automatically be taken care of. That is the perfection. By simply following one's spiritual master, then all of the previous acharya's desires are achieved. We can see that everything Prabhupada is doing is simply to satisfy his previous acharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's so wonderful. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he took out one of his Sankirtan parties, he described how at one place they came into a certain... Actually, this, it means so much because when we go into a village, like say our boat party comes into a village, this actually, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, the same thing is happening today. You go into a village, every village householder will put in front of his house, he'll take some cow dung and clean a little area. And there he'll put a big tray. And on the tray they'll have a pradeep, a giwik, some sugar, some incense. And then when the devotees come, they'll take scented water and throw on their feet or bathe their feet. Then they'll offer an arti to the deities or to the devotees and pay their obeisances. Sometimes after they throw the water on the feet, then they go and they roll in the water. Or at least they put it on their head. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that I have seen personally. So he described that in this village, every village householder put in front of their house water pot with coconut and decorated with banana leaves over the doors and put these offerings and lights. And as they're going, doing kirtan, it was such a wonderful feeling. Everyone was chanting and coming out. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was feeling immense joy. And then when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was taking his kirtan, he was going by a school. And when the kids saw this whole Sankirtan party coming by, they simply deserted their teacher and ran out of the schoolhouse yelling, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur commented that, seeing that, my heart filled with transcendental joy to see them leave there for spontaneously chanting Hare Krishna and joining the Sankirtan party. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they had such a kirtan that people started rolling even on the ground and crying. And everyone was deeply moved. So like this, he was going all around. Although he was a grihastha, he would take time off and he would go all the way around different places in India and give lectures, sing songs, have other people sing songs, compose, and do this kirtan and preaching. He was a very active preacher. And we know him as the magistrate and as the writer and as the discoverer of Mayapur, but he's also that he was so active preaching. In the weeks to come, I'm going to give some of the detailed accounts where he would give like an autobiography of his preaching. He would say who gave the lecture, what happened, exactly how the things developed. So he also stated that sometimes he'd go in a particular area where they liked a particular style of music, which was not the traditional Bengali Vaishnav kirtan style. So he would compose pure Vaishnav lyrics to fit that type of melody. And then they would sing in other melodies these pure Vaishnav lyrics so that the hearers would be eager to hear. In this way, one can use his intelligence how to preach Krishna consciousness according to different time and place circumstance. The BBT, the international BBTs are supposed to provide funds for constructing the buildings of the Mayapur project. But the and ISKCON Food Relief provides some money for distributing prasadam. Apart from that, Prabhupada wanted eventually that there would be businesses run by different grihasthas and different cottage industries which would make the whole city self-sufficient. But right now the BBT doesn't have a budget for those particular works because they're doing samadhi other things. So right now we're depending on donations from Calcutta, which are not adequate to really run the temple. So it sometimes gets very tight. Just last, about 2 months ago, 20 boys were turned away from joining our Gurukul ashram because the headmaster thought there wasn't enough finance to cover their overhead of feeding and clothing them, although they were very nice, but I was out of station. So he turned them away due to the shortage of funds. Actually, this Prabhupada said that eventually, he said that Bombay should supply funds eventually, but they admit that he said that, but that's as far as it goes. Prabhupada said that eventually Calcutta should be able to supply funds, but they don't have a temple yet, so they want to build a temple. Once they have a big temple like in Bombay, I think that Calcutta would be able to supply some funds. And of course, the development has to be, we need a very first-class businessman. And there are so many businesses which could be developed out of Mayapur to make it self-reliant. So at the present time, somehow or another, things are going on, very difficult situation. The Sankirtan is lucky if it can make enough money to just run itself. So we completely separate the Sankirtan, is independent of the temple. It doesn't have to give anything to the temple, but it has to pay for its books. And it has a hard time doing that. And we have to send people overseas just to collect money to purchase the vans for Sankirtan. Up to now, Mayapur temple doesn't have its own, apart from Sankirtan vehicles, which are under a separate category. The temple itself doesn't have any vehicle or anything like that. So in that way, I mean, Mayapur is out in the country. It's a very difficult situation. But somehow or another, things are going on. Right now, we're maintaining. But we're maintaining all right, and we're increasing the guest house. People are coming. Everything is going on. But naturally, no one likes to maintain. We always want to expand. So now when we want to expand, we find that we've expanded up to what we can see as our limit at this point without some additional income. And I haven't really found a solution yet for that additional income up to date. $1,000, we calculated, can provide for 50 to 75 Gurukul students to be admitted. That, of course, is... I calculated that Guru Padma Dasi of London, her 1 month collection was enough to pay for 1,000 Gurukul children completely. Because they were bragging to me when they were reading off the Sankirtan score, she collected £1,600 in 1 week. So they were calculating in rupees how much that was. And it was so much that then I just calculated how many Gurukul. It was 1,000 Gurukul children could be maintained by our collection. Jayatirtha didn't, Maharaj didn't like to hear that. He's on the spot. But, I mean, he liked it, but he said, we'll have to talk about it later. So there's a lot of programs that could be developed. Actually, the people are begging for Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada said he wanted everything done in an American way. So we're doing as much as we can on the Indian pocketbook. And I think Krishna, somehow or another, he will provide. We have to see what comes. It's a very great need, but Krishna is kind. And gradually many intelligent people are coming and helping different projects there. And there's so many facilities to be developed, so many wonderful programs to be developed. There everything is a separate. We have 33 departments in Mayapur. Each department is separately run. They work on their own profit and loss basis. Those who are income producing, like the agriculture, the dairy, the handlooms, the sweet shop, the guest house number one, guest house number two, the economy guest house and the high class guest house. Like that, everything is done in a separate in a business like way. So gradually things are improving day by day. But right now, if you're interested, you can always give suggestion. We can always use some more assistance.